And what a blessing to be with you this morning and to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the good Sunday school hour and appreciate the hard work the children did. That was good. And I appreciate your pastor's family. Well, aren't they a blessing? Amen. They are a blessing from the Lord. And I'm thankful for them. And I feel like there are about 15 sermons I want to preach this morning. And my pastor met me at the back door one time I preached for him. And I think that I'd had a little trouble that morning or that evening finding the will of God. And so I think I preached about three different messages in one. And the preacher met me at the back door and he shook my hand and he said, "I enjoyed the message, both of them." Amen. So I trust it won't be that way this morning. But it is such a blessing to be with you. And I had honestly in my heart, our family, we had been yearning to come up and see your pastor and his family and to see the church. And I'm for you. Amen. And you folks are in our prayers. And I've met some new people today, I believe. And so I'm grateful for everybody that's coming here to the True Light Baptist Church. Let me just tell you, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. And there's no place perfect till we get to heaven. But thank God that there are some good places. Amen. And so I want us to look in our Bibles this morning. And I want you to look in two places if you're able to do that. I know some of us, it's hard to do two things at once. But I want you to look in 1 Samuel 21. And I also want you to look in Psalm chapter 34. And I want to give you what is on my heart, what's on my mind today. And the Lord put this on me some while back, and it has been a message that has been hard for me to get away from. Sometimes it just seems to rest on my heart, and I know how that it helped me. Well, I want you to look first at Psalm 34, and notice the heading of the psalm. Now, I know my Bible doesn't have any study notes in it. Some Bibles do. Sometimes that can confuse you what's in the actual text of the Bible and what is a man's opinion. So it's always good to be able to, you know, to see the difference. What is God saying and what is a commentator saying. But as I was coming through here reading my Bible, and I had been preaching on the life of David and just preaching some sermons through the life of David. And I came here to Psalm 34, and it said, "A Psalm of David." Are you looking at that? Notice what the heading of the psalm says. "When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed." So when I read that, and having been preaching through the life of David, I got excited. I said, I'm going to learn something more about the life of David. That excited me. I like learning about Bible characters because it teaches me more about myself. It teaches me more about God and how to live for God. And you think about the life of David. David is, and I know there are some people in the Bible that the Lord just gives us a quick glimpse of them. There's an Enoch. Boy, he made his mark and he got out of here, didn't he? Amen. And you can look at the life of Abraham. He is great passages of scripture deal with Abraham. But then you look at Isaac, there's not as much. But then you come to Jacob, and there's just a life story of Jacob and of Joseph. But when you come, I feel like when I think God puts people in the Bible says that these things are written for our learning. They are written for our examples. They show us, New Testament believers, we learn from the Old Testament how to live for God. Right. Amen. And the Lord, it seems like, David is a man after God's own heart. The Lord, he said, "I've sought me a man," and then he said, "I've found me a man after mine own heart." And it seems like the Lord lets us look at the life of David from every vantage point. God lets us look at him from behind, from underneath, from ahead, from above. And I know I don't want my life being on that kind of display. And I don't think any human would. But we can learn some things about David's heart for God and his life and what he went through. And he went through a rough path to finally get to the place God had him to be, ultimately to be the king of Israel. And so he says he changed his behavior here. And so I wanted to figure out why would David write a psalm about the time that he changed his behavior. Now, it's not the only psalm he wrote about that time. It's interesting to me. I don't know of any other time in David's life that he wrote more than one psalm about. But this period in his life, Psalm 56 as well, he wrote about this time in his life. So if God would have David write more than one, I mean, when he fell greatly in sin, we got Psalm 51. But that's all we got. But this there must be something about this time in his life. If God would have him write Psalm 56 and Psalm 34, there must be something for us to learn from 1 Samuel 21. So let's read there in a few verses, and then I'll let you be seated. But in 1 Samuel 20, it's where that last straw, that last test has come, and Jonathan is convinced that his father is going to kill David. And so David is sent away, and in chapter number 21, he begins what I call his fugitive years. His years on the run. His years, just running for his life. And so in the latter part of 1 Samuel 21 is what those two Psalms deal with. Look at verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. So what David is doing, he's running away from Judah, he's running away from Israel, and he's running down right into the land of the Philistines. And so the Bible says he's doing that because of fear. Verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now, this is a time in David's life where God said, write two psalms about it. Look at what happened. I don't see him killing giants here. I don't see him slaying the enemy and putting the enemies to flight here. This is really a humiliating place in his life. This is a place where he is going to be humbled and he's really going to get knocked down. He's going to act like he's crazy to deliver himself. Amen. You find a theological type in that, and we'll both build a sermon out of it. Amen. But in verse number 13, and he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish, that's the king here of Gath. Then said Achish, looking at this spectacle of David drooling and acting like he's insane. The Bible says, and said, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And so he at this point drives David out. Now, I want us to look at this story in light of what God taught David through this. And what I feel like the Lord wants to teach us through it. And you can be seated. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now I pray that you would touch your precious word. Lord, help your servant this morning. Lord, we are absolutely and completely without strength, Lord, unless you help us. Father, we completely dependent on thee today and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help me today to preach. And I pray that you would open the hearts of the people and open their ears. Give them ears to hear today what you would say to them. Father, I pray this morning that you would get personal with us. Oh, Lord, that you would work in this place, God, a work, Lord, that man can't accomplish or take any credit for. Lord, I pray, do what needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now look back with me to Psalm chapter 34. You can hold your place in 1 Samuel if you're able to do that. But in Psalm 34, I'm not going to read the whole Psalm, but I want to try to pull out of it. There is a theme in the Psalm, Psalm 34 and Psalm 56, but there is a theme here that I believe the Lord gave us, not only the story of David's life, but I believe the Lord gave us the story of our own life here. And I want you to notice verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now I want you to take particular notice of verse 4 and some of the other verses that we're going to notice. There is a flow here. There is a theme here. I think that there is a story here that God is telling us. Verse 4, He said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Then look at verse number 6. Notice the flow. Notice what He's saying. He's going to say it again. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, look with me in verse number 15. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What I want you to take notice of this morning, what I want to preach about this morning, these three aspects of what David says that the Lord did in his life in this period, in this place, where he acted like a madman. Number one, he said, I cried to the Lord. I called out to God. But then the second thing he said is, and the Lord heard me. And the third thing that he said is that the Lord delivered me. So that's what I want us to, I think those are the things that are emphasized in this time in David's life. Can I just tell you something about your life before you live it? You're going to live some of these things. Like it or not, as a child of God, if you're going to follow Jesus, there are going to be some times that you're just going to have to cry out to the Lord. And there will always be that confidence. Even when you don't feel it, He hears you. Even when you don't understand, He hears. And can I tell you something about the Lord? He always delivers. Amen. The Lord always delivers. Every single time the Lord delivers. Amen. You say, what happens if the Lord doesn't deliver me here? You'll get delivered up there. Amen. And so that's what I want us to consider this morning. We look at David's life here, and we are again reminded he's just a sinner saved by grace. I know that he's a Bible character, and we learn so much about loving God from him. We learn so much about living for the Lord and having victory, having courage, having faith, and hearing the voice of God. We learn so much from David, but we also learn that he's just a sinner saved by grace. And that's exactly what we are. But I say, there's no supermen or superwomen Christians here this morning. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God, delivered only because Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, gave His life for us. The only reason we're saved this morning is because God, in mercy, passed by our way one day and revealed Himself to us and gave us grace and moved on our heart to call upon His name. I want us to notice some things about this. Why do the righteous cry? What motivates the cry of the righteous? And I just tell you, sometimes God will allow some things in all of our lives to get us to cry. To get us to call out. And you know, none of us a lot of times welcome these things. We don't look for these things. But it's just a fact of living. So what is in my heart today, I want to help you. I wish that there was 100 different ways I could help you today. But the only way that I know that I can try and help you today is that the Lord would speak to you from the Word of God, from His truth, and you would let Him talk to you this morning. What is it that motivated the cry of David? Well, the first thing that we see that motivated his cry was fear. And you might say, preacher, I ain't afraid of nothing. You're just not awake good. If you don't have to deal with any fears, then God tell you this morning should be up here and not me. And let me just say, David, the Bible says that he left that day for fear of who? Saul. And David left one fear, and the Bible says that he goes down to Achish, the king of Gath. And the Bible says he left that day for fear of what? The face of Saul. He was afraid of the countenance of that madman that would go crazy in the devil and throw javelins at him. Amen. He fled that day from the face of Saul. And I'm going to tell you, there's some fears that will come our way just because of the countenance of this world around us. Just the countenance of the atmosphere of the day we're living in. But you know, the Bible says he ran down to the Achish. And let me just say, if you don't bring your fear to the Lord, you say, preacher, I don't have any fears. Well, you need to pray for the rest of us while I preach this point. He goes from one fear, and the Bible says he's afraid of the countenance of Saul, and he gets down there, and then he's sore afraid of the words of Achish. You know what happens if we don't deal with our fears and tell Jesus about our fears and bring... That's what motivated the cry of David. He was afraid. That's what motivated this time in his life when it felt like he was losing control and felt like he was a lost sheep somewhere. He was afraid. And that fear that came in his life... Don't let fear drive you out of church. Don't let fear drive you away from the prayer altar. Don't let it drive you away from the Bible. But let it motivate you as a child of God to cry out to the Lord. You know what happens when you run from fear? You'll run from one fear into a greater fear. He said he was afraid of Saul, but he was sore afraid of Achish. You may say, well, preacher, I ain't afraid of nothing. I'm armed and dangerous. Well, I'm glad you are. But I'm going to tell you, you're outgunned in this world, friend. Amen. You know, the best thing to do when you're afraid is not to try to pretend that you're not. The best thing to do when fear comes in your life is not to try and behave like you're some super saint. But the best thing to do when fear has come in your life, let it motivate you to cry out to the Lord. The Bible said the righteous cry. He didn't say the heathens. He didn't say the backslider. He didn't say the weak in faith. He said the righteous cry. Amen. Fear sometimes motivates our cry. That word fear, it speaks of sheer terror. David was doing what he was doing that day because he was afraid. Well, I need to move along. Y'all have a clock on the wall. I don't have one of them at the church. Right, Pastor? Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says that there's a torment in fear. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, fearful people hurt themselves. The fear a lot of times doesn't hurt us. My wife is really, really doing well. Her gardening and her pool experiences, she has a fear of frogs. But her gardening, I mean, she came in the other day and had a slug on her hand and she was calm, cool, and collected. I wouldn't have been that calm, cool, and collected had one of them boogers on me, amen. I mean, one of those slimy animals. I was laying in the bed one night and all of a sudden I heard screaming through the bedroom window, outdoor screaming. And I heard Jeannie scream, and then I heard my daughter Viola scream, and then it sounded like they were both screaming. And then I thought about getting up. I said, wonder what they're screaming. And then their terror turned to laughter. So I said, they're okay. But I've known some people that got afraid, and what they were afraid of didn't actually hurt them. It was running through a plate glass window, you know, and it was tripping over a, you know, something. It was the fear that hurt them, not what they were afraid of.
That's right.
And I just say, I'm no greater than David or you.
No.
David was afraid. Notice what he said. Notice what he said in verse number 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from what? He said, I cried out to God about my fears.
Yep.
I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. If the enemy can attack us and keep us afraid, he can neutralize your effectiveness for Christ.
That's right.
You can't live in fear because fear keeps you from fulfilling what God wants you to do in life. You can't live your life afraid. We have bouts. We have issues. We have times when fear comes. But what that ought to motivate me to cry to the Lord, who hears and who delivers. Hey, I'm no greater than the Apostle Paul. Are you? So I ain't afraid of nothing. Well, I don't want to stand too close to you. Because the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Yeah. It sounds like sometimes people that are imperfect get on their knees and talk to a perfect God, and He helps them to overcome.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 7:5, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." Now, I want you to take this in context. I'm no greater than Paul. I'm no greater than David. But have you ever considered that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, He experienced it all for us. I'm not saying sin. He didn't experience, He took that upon Him, but He didn't delve in. He never failed a sin. He did not sin, and He could not sin. He is impeccable. But can I tell you, He did experience what we go through. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if you say, "I'm not afraid of nothing, preacher, I never get afraid," I'm telling you, you better not read Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 7, "Who in the days of His flesh," I think this is pointing us to the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ went in. I'm telling you that you're not going to understand all of those places Christ went for us and with us until we get to heaven. But the Bible says in the days of His flesh, He was like us. He is a faithful high priest. And the Bible says that He is touched with the feeling of my infirmity. In the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to deliver Him from death and was heard and that He feared. You say, "Preacher, was Jesus Christ shaking and trembling?" No, but I do believe that He did allow that experience to become part of His life on earth so He could be that faithful high priest who could take me by the hand when I'm afraid. And who could comfort me when I'm afraid. You know, we all have fears to contend with. But you know what? Fears in life should motivate me to cry out to the Lord. You know what the sister Psalm David wrote, Psalm 56? You're not going to believe some of the topics that he wrote about in Psalm 56. He said, "What time," in verse 3, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee."
Yeah.
Psalm 56, verse 9, he said, "When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me."
Yeah.
David, you know, when David should have been going from fear, faith to faith, he's going from fear to fear. I need to cover some ground. Amen. We can't let fear motivate us in our movements, but we can't allow the fear that comes in our life to motivate us to cry out to the Lord. There's some scriptures that have helped me along the journey. One of them is Isaiah 41. I was resisting with the Lord's leading in my life, and there's some areas of ministry. There were some places the Lord wanted me to go preach, and I was afraid. I was afraid of open air preaching. I'm just telling you, when God was dealing with my heart about ministry, I was scared. Amen? Scared. My wife used to sit back in the back of the church while I was trying to preach in those early days and saying, "Louder. Louder." Now she does this. She holds up two fingers and goes like that. It's too long. Amen? Just kidding. She doesn't do that. But I was afraid. I was afraid to witness. I was afraid to get on the... You know, the first time that I got out on the street corner and preached, the Lord allowed me to lead a man to the Lord. His name was John.
Amen.
That's another story. But Isaiah 41 helped me. Isaiah 41:10, do you need any help? Go to the Word of God. Let your fear motivate you to cry out to the Lord. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." I'm telling you, we have a God who will not cast us away because we have some fears, but He allows those so we'll cry out to Him. David said in the 56th Psalm, verse 4, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." I'm telling you, the giant killer, amen, the man that fought until he died. I'm telling you, the captain, amen, the great warrior king was afraid sometimes. You're in good company. I notice the second thing that motivates us to cry, the righteous cry. Notice verse number 6. This poor man cried, and again what happened? "And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his" what? Look at verse number 17. "The righteous cry," hey, there it is again. "And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their," say it again, "troubles." I got a few fears. I've got a few troubles. But I wish trouble would never come. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. I wish my troubles would never come. But it seems like sometimes they come out of nowhere. Amen. It seems like I'm just rolling peacefully down the road of the will of God for my life, enjoying the goodness of the Lord and the blessing of God, in love with Jesus and just basking in His blessings. And all of a sudden, there's trouble. And I'm like, why does trouble have to trouble me? Why can't trouble just leave me alone and let me enjoy God and enjoy the blessings? Why does trouble have to come? It just comes. And when it comes, we need to let it motivate us to cry out to God. And I just tell you about me, what I naturally want to do when trouble comes. I want to get a Kevlar helmet, put on my head, and go hide in the corner. So let me know when it's over. Amen. That's just my personality. I'm not the one that's going to go running to the trouble. I'm not that soldier. Amen. I'm the one that's going to shrink back and say, "Why me?" But you know what? Trouble comes to every child of God.
Yes, sir.
David said, "I was afraid," but he says twice in Psalm 34, I had troubles. But what did he do about his troubles? He told Jesus about it.
Right.
He cried out to the Lord about it.
Right.
You know, this word troubles, it speaks of adversity. It speaks of having an adversary. Have you ever had one of those? If you're saved, you've got one of those every day you live.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. You know, I was reminded by the adversary coming over here that he don't like me.
Yeah.
And he don't like my family. That was just an individual that was bebopping down the sidewalk. And we were just pulling out that church van to get some breakfast. And I could tell that individual had problems as full of the devil was their problems. You know what they did? Took their hand out like it was a gun, like they were shooting every single one of us in that man. And did a bunch of other obscene gestures. You say, "Oh, preacher, those things just happen. They happen when you're going to serve the Lord to try to cause you some trouble." We have an adversary.
Yes,
that word, it means anguish. It means distress. It speaks of tribulation. You know, Job was righteous and he still experienced trouble. And so if I was a better Christian, I would have trouble. Brother Mike, if you ever asked yourself, if I was a better pastor, I would have trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. No. If you're saved, it doesn't matter if you're the pastor or you're the Sunday school teacher or you're just a family that attends faithfully, you know what? You're going to have some trouble.
Yep.
If you get close to God, you're going to have some trouble.
Right.
But what do we do with our trouble? What did David do? He said, "I cried to the Lord." In verse number 6, he said, "This poor man cried. Lord, this poor man." You ever feel like that? If you haven't gotten there yet and you're really saved and love God, there'll be a day that you come to the Lord like that. You know, Job 14:1, he said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble."
Yep.
Preach it, Job. Amen.
Amen.
know what David said? He said in Psalm 27, verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring down me out of distresses. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen? Now, let's tell you, there is a deliverance from the trouble.
That's right.
Amen? Lest we sink too far down in the fears and the troubles this morning, there are two more points, okay? Just hang with me. Hang with me. Amen?
Amen.
I need to move along. I can tell that already. Psalm 86, verse 7, he said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. So David's fears motivated his cry. Let those fears, don't let them destroy you or stop you, but let them motivate you to talk to the Lord.
Yes.
Those troubles that come our way, you need to pray more.
Yeah.
Amen. You need to pray more.
Yeah.
You need to pray more. Then notice in verse number 19, there's a third aspect that David tells us about in the story of his life that motivated his cry. Verse number 19, he said this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, if Jesus loves me, then why do I have affliction? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Can I just say this as humbly as I know how? This word afflictions, it speaks of sickness, it speaks of sorrow, it speaks of the sicknesses of life. This is easier preaching than it is living. I wish that there was never any affliction. I was so excited when we called the veterans nursing home in our area where we've had ministry for so many years. We got locked out of that because of COVID. And I was so excited to go back in and see my brothers and sisters that I haven't seen. And so when Brother Greg Frommer and I walked in, and we were kept in. We're still not going to be able to have ministry inside. We'll have to be outside. But we walked in. I was so excited because one of the men that came faithfully came rolling up in his wheelchair, Kelvin. I could tell that he had aged a lot in those 3 years. I began to ask him about my friends, about Willie Avery that I loved. I'm telling you, I loved him. I loved him. I loved him. When the children would sing, he would clap. Whoever sang, he'd always say, give them a hand. And while you preached, he would praise the Lord. He would get I'm telling you, he'd get with you. I know you go to a lot of nursing homes and they're just sick and they're asleep. But Brother Willie would sit there and egg you on and amen you and cry and sing and glorify God while you preach and egg you on. And I walked in, I was asking Kelvin about my friends. I said, what about Willie Avery? What about Brother Willie? He said he passed away last year. You know that? I wish affliction wasn't part of the world we live in. But because of what those little children acted out here this morning, sin came into the world and death by sin. Can I tell you the only way we're going to get to heaven, if not by rapture, we're going to get out of here because of affliction. And I just say that I wish nobody ever got sick. I wish my father didn't have the problems that he has right now. I wish my mother didn't have the problems that she's been through, stage 4 cancer, and she's been through so much. I wish that she'd never had to go through those things. I wish that my wife's dad didn't pass away at his 40s, that he would have been able to live to see our grandchildren and all. And you know, but can I tell you, one day we'll all get together over there one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just say I wish everybody got well?
Yeah.
But can I tell you, if you have affliction today, and in some measure we all have some,
yeah,
or we all will have some.
Yeah.
What did David say? He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth thee. He delivers us.
Yes.
You say, how's the Lord going to deliver me from this? Well, it may be that God just decides to heal you.
Yeah.
And He can do that.
Yeah.
But it may be that the Lord will let you get heaven before and make some preparations for us before we get there.
Yes, sir.
Clear us off the place around the throne of God. Amen. But afflictions are Afflictions are that should motivate us not to give up, not to quit praying, not to quit loving God, not to quit being a blessing. But affliction should cause you and I to cry out to the Lord. He said, I cried to the Lord. Second thing I want to say this morning is the wonder that He always hears us.
Amen.
Hey, when David was afraid, he called out the Lord and the Lord heard him. I'm not going to reread every verse just for effect, but in verse 4, verse 6, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18, we find that there is a Savior who is faithful to His people.
Yes.
He hears us.
That's right.
Mr. Preacher, I'm not sure the Lord hears what I'm asking Him. And I assure you, He hears every time.
Amen.
And if He hasn't answered yet, just trust Him. And just bring it to Him.
Yep.
Just keep praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And look for a way to serve God until the answer comes.
Yes, sir.
Because He hears.
Yes.
Look at verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He sees you. And His ears are open unto their cry. You know, all through this psalm, the Bible says, cry out to the Lord. But then it assures us and reassures us, He hears us.
Yes.
He hears us.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. And I don't have time to illustrate all this. If I had time, I would go over here and I'd whisper something in someone's ear. Turn the mic off and I would whisper in someone's ear. And Brother JP back there wouldn't be able to hear what I said. You know why? Because he's too far away.
Yep.
I could whisper in this young man or young lady's ear something real quiet. And you folks over here wouldn't hear. But you know why the Lord always hears? He hears us because He's so near us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that blessed the fire out of me when
yes,
I saw
sir.
That. I'm going to tell you, there may be some other people that don't hear. Have you ever tried to tell somebody else your burden? And it just seemed like they don't understand it.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, the Savior, He stands so near us. He always hears us
yes.
because He is near us. He
Amen.
Is closer. He always hears. So you ought to cry and you ought to keep telling Him and calling on Him in every situation of life. It's a wonder that He always hears. It's an assurance that He hears us. In 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us.
Right.
On and on I could go this morning. With Scripture. But the righteous cry and the Lord hears. He hears. He hears. David said, I got down into a place where it just... He said, I put on a good act of it. I've just lost my mind. But he said, God heard me.
Amen.
God heard me. In Psalm... Let me deal with the last one. And then there is a God... He allows fear. He allows trouble. He allows affliction to motivate us to cry.
Yes, sir.
Then He always hears.
Yes.
But then can I just say thirdly, He is the God that delivers us.
That's right.
In every one of these verses, we are assured of deliverance.
Yes,
in verse number 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So there's deliverance from my fears. The Bible says in verse number 6, this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. So there is deliverance from my trouble. Verse number 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Yes.
I just tell you, He says all of them, doesn't He?
Yep.
All of their fears. All of their troubles. And can I tell you, for the child of God, all of their afflictions. I want to tell you, there's going to be some stuff we're going to leave behind, friend. There are going to be some things we leave behind, and I'm glad that we'll get to leave them behind.
Yes,
the deliverance of God. This is the same word that David used in 1 Samuel 17:7 when he was so full of faith facing the giant Goliath. He said, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And to say the Savior that delivered me from sin and hell is able to deliver us from all other enemies. In the companion psalm in Psalm 56, verse 13, for thou hast delivered. Are you listening? Thou hast delivered my soul from death.
Amen.
Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of living. On and on and on we could go this morning. In Psalm 18:17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. I just tell you this morning, he will deliver you. Are you listening? Are you listening? So, preacher, I'm afraid. Join the crowd.
Yeah.
But what can you do about it? Cry out to the Lord.
That's right.
Preacher, I got trouble. So do the rest of us. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Cry out to the Lord. Preacher, I've got an affliction. Just something that's just not exactly right. The way that I would like for it to be. Hey, tell the Lord about it.
Yeah.
And one way or another, he will deliver you.
Right.
One way or another, he will deliver you. That's his promise.
Yes.
Let's stand together. I'm finished. Viola, come play for me this morning. Let's stand together if you're able and willing. Let's bow our heads.